And we're live.
What's going on, America? And you are here for another podcast of Masters of the Galaxy. I am Brian Ozone, and I am here with my boys. We got Andrew Kay and Aaron Johnson. What's up, my men?
What's going on?
Oh, man, Miller Lite and He-Man. Gotta love it.
It's a good combination, man. It's how you wash down waffles.
Oh, boys. So, I've been pretty, I haven't heard much, but have you guys heard anything new or exciting? I mean, besides the amazing encyclopedia that we got. I mean, that thing is ridiculously great.
Okay, Funko made some crazy announcement earlier this last week. We've got some new Pops.
Oh, yeah.
And Dwarves coming out.
Yes.
And Sugar Babies or something. Sugar Daddies. Sugar something. It's a She-Ra, so whatever. It's not a Sugar.
Yeah, what is that, man? Because it's like, is it a figure or is it a... Is it like
it's a vinyl statue. I think
it's a statue. Okay.
It's a vinyl statue. I'd have to look it up. It is very cool. It's going to be also very hard to get. Comic-Con is a mess. I think that you and me can both describe Comic-Con pretty accurately. I've been going since 2007. I can describe it as Funko as being miserable.
Yes.
Funko is miserable.
It is. It's because it's miserable waiting on the lines, and then it's miserable that you don't get what you want waiting on the lines.
Yeah.
and then it's miserable because you'll find it at another table for triple the price. That's the kind of downer. I did see that video. It was pretty cool of all the new stuff. We're getting that Flock Panthro Skeletor 2-pack for the Dwarves.
Dwarves, yeah.
The glow in the dark. What's his face?
Scareglow.
Scareglow, thank you.
Dude, that's going to be awesome.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely going to be awesome. And that's what made me start thinking about, what else is in store for San Diego this year. I mean, it's been pretty quiet so far.
Super 7 has said they have things to show and to talk about, but they said they're going to show it closer to the show.
Yeah,
Every other year, it's always been the week or two before the show. I remember last year, the Sunday before the show, there was an announcement and I was like, holy crap, something new. And then Tuesday rolled around the day before preview night and they had something even more. I mean, I remember, I think the last thing they unveiled 2 years or 3 years ago was that Chia Pet. Remember the Chia Pet?
Yes, the Moss Man.
Chia Pet, yeah. Man. So we'll have more things coming out, I'm sure, but Mattel's been pretty silent. They haven't had a whole lot to show, so there'll be no He-Man things, I'm pretty sure, from them. If they do show it, it'll be a big surprise.
Well, the only thing we've really seen out of Mattel at all, I mean, recently, is just that talking about that vault sale coming. So, I mean, other than that...
The vault sale's already going on.
When was that? Was that?
This was last week. There's no that all they did was put stuff that they had back in that they had out of stock in stock. That's all they did.
Gotcha.
The vault sale is not. It's not anything actually vaulted. What they did
is
Rotar and Twistoid were out of print. They had not made any more, and they decided to make new Rotar and Twistoid and more Eternian He-Man. And their vault stuff was stuff that's only from the last 2 years.
So are they going to switch the names around right on Rotar and Twistoid? I saw some of the last run, some folks had them twisted around. So that was kind of crazy.
No, they didn't fix it. I think it's literally just reprinting what they already had.
That's awesome.
Oh, really? They screwed up the names?
You got Twistoid standing on Rotar's spot and Rotar standing on Twistoid's spot.
It's funny, though.
That is pretty funny. But now, let me ask you a question, guys. Do you think that Mattel is going to throw a wrench in the works and maybe come out with their own San Diego Comic-Con exclusive?
If they do, I mean, that would be awesome. But
it would be. It'd be a well-welcomed.
From what I've heard, it's not going to happen.
But would that be something along the Classics line? I mean, they passed that torch on to Super 7, right?
They did. I don't have any sources on this, but I actually think Mattel may have been the wrench in the Thundercats line for for Super 7, from my understanding. I know we were talking about, did we talk about that last week, I think, guys? Didn't we talk about that? The Thundercats, you know, Super 7's not going to continue the Thundercats, I guess, right? We talked about that last week, or was it the week before?
I think it was week before last when they made that announcement.
It was a really sad announcement. But if you haven't noticed, Mattel is still manufacturing the Thundercat classics. They're actually still producing them, and they have popped up in their vault store twice now.
Really?
And then GameStop is getting more shipment because they've been selling for GameStop. So my understanding is it's not that the Mattel, you know, is taking over the classics. They're just continuing, since they paid 3 years for that contract, they're going to eat it out.
Yeah.
And that's why Super 7 can't get the same license.
Man, you got to eat out your cats. I mean, that's what you do. And I think it makes more sense that way, as far as them blocking Super 7 from getting that license. So it would make more sense that Mattel has something kind of up their sleeve with that.
No, that's the thing, though. I don't think Mattel has anything up their sleeve with that. I think they're just going to try to continue manufacturing them to make money for their Mattel shop. It's not that they're going to make any new ones as far as we know. Because, you know, there's no Maddie panel. Remember, there's no Maddie panel at Comic-Con this year. Every year in the past, except for last year, there has been a Maddie panel. So we're missing another Maddie panel, which means we're not going to see any DC. There might be a DC panel.
It could still be.
But the, you know, in the years past, we've gotten our wrestling, the Voltron information, Masters information at Comic-Con at the Mattel panel, the Maddie panel, and they're not going to do it again this year.
Yeah, well, now, I mean, they don't even have the website up, so now it's, like, pointless to even have one in their eyes. So it's sad, because that's the only place to get the information for all those other toys and lines and whatnot.
Mattel shop, I think, picked up on that, because they do wrestling, they do the DC figures, most definitely.
Well, the other thing too is, like what I said, with maybe that they might have something, is because they did come out with the Horde Trooper in a single carded pack.
So the Horde Trooper was already produced, and then it sold so well, they ordered more.
I mean, because it was announced that they were going to do it some time ago, and why not give it to Super 7? But yet they did it themselves, so that was sneaky, you know?
We didn't know anything that Super 7 was going to get any of them, so it wasn't like they told us Super 7 was going to get it. You know, we didn't even know if it was going to come out.
From
understanding is they had got it ready to go, and then, you know, they decided they were going to cancel the line. Super 7's taking over new figures. They're not taking over old stuff. So if there's any back stock, it goes to Mattel Toys.
Okay.
Well, no, they're only taking care of new stuff. They're manufacturing their own stuff. It's like if I made a bunch of customs, and, you know, you're like, hey, I'm going to continue what Andrew Kay is doing custom-wise.
Yeah.
I sent you all the customs I did so you could sell them for your profit.
Yeah. No, I understand, because they already came out with the Horde Trooper 2-pack. They're just, you know, dumbing down and coming out with one, and
already in production.
Yeah.
So what was the price point on the 2-pack Horde Troopers when they were originally released?
Oh man, I think they were $39.99. No, they were $50.
Okay, so $50. So, and the new Horde Trooper in the single 25. Pack is how much? 25.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I mean, no difference really. I mean, it would seem to me it would make more sense from their standpoint to keep them in a 2-pack, because from packaging standpoint seems that would be more cost effective, but
it wasn't. I mean, you got to think about it too, because they've got to pay for, I mean, you might be right.
That to me, that figure is more like an army builder figure, so it makes more sense doing two at a time. I mean, more people
like
probably
the 2-pack, because
me too,
that is an army builder, and most folks do that. I mean, so
yeah,
I don't know. It'd be cool to see some other 2-packs, but I don't know what else you would do it with.
I mean, I do like the single carded figure as well. It's kind of cool, but you know, for those who missed out on the 2-pack, it's cool for them to actually be able to have a Horde Trooper without paying the eBay prices, the second market prices.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah,
I bought 10 of them. I don't know about anyone else, but I ended up buying 10 after all.
Well, I bought two and I got two extra, so I bought four. So if anybody needs two, I have them.
I was going through my office. I'm renovating my house right now, guys. And I was going through my office. I have three or four Horde Trooper 2-packs underneath my table in my office.
Yeah, I have a few extra too that I found hoarding around.
Andrew's just got him sitting around, got his feet up on him. He's kicked back, you know, like he comes home and he's got a chair built out of Horde Troopers. He sits in some bitch.
I was going through my KOs, my bootlegs, and I found I have three giant He-Mans all the same. So I brought one to a convention this weekend and sold it for like $80 because it's the giant Mexican bootlegs. Yeah, the KOs. Yeah, I have cool. three of them. So I was like, I'm going to get rid of at least one. I have Webster.
A good price.
Yeah, 80's a good price. I sold it for a good price. But yeah, I have a Webster that was hiding too. A giant bootleg Webster and the shield and the axe and the sword for He-Man. The giant bootleg. Wow. So I'm like, ooh.
That's kind of hard to get all together. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I got some good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've just been cleaning, man. It's been hell week for me.
Yeah, it's funny when you start moving stuff around and you're like, oh, wow, I actually have this. And now I have another one. Because if you get your ad and you buy another one or whatever.
Yeah, I have a Monstroid I found. I forgot that I owned a Monstroid sealed in box at the bottom of my office. I was like, oh, look at this. This hasn't seen a light of day in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to just find. Oh,
this
my
should
goodness.
Be on the shelf. What's my all this crap on top of it?
That's funny. Oh man.
I also have He-Man, She-Ra, and Skeletor skate decks that I forgot about.
What, recently or they're old?
I got these like a couple of years ago. I've forgotten about these, but I had them stashed away. I have skate decks. I don't skate, so I don't know why I
That's
need
cool.
skate decks. But they're He-Man, Skeletor, and She-Ra. I'll probably hang them up like posters or something.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool if you do them like under each other, like on a like on a like a 45-degree angle or whatever, like
I think each one of them has them portrait style, so I'd have to do it like I'd have to do it straight up and down.
Straight up and down. Yeah, some of those were cool to display like that, man. Back in
the
McGill stuff and that Tony Hawk stuff.
Oh yeah. So,
is that it's legit, right? It's Mattel.
It's official. Yeah, it's not Mattel.
Wow.
It was licensed. It was licensed, though.
That's,
it's definitely
okay,
licensed.
Yeah, yeah. That's
now,
word,
what is
yeah.
this? I'm totally lost. I thought we were on the skateboards.
Yeah, these are skate decks. These are skate decks. These were licensed skate decks that had
He-Man,
Skeletor, and She-Ra. Mattel licensed something else. Mattel did not make them. I mean, they have Mattel's stamp on them, but they're made by someone else.
What's the artwork? Is it like classic or
it's like Filmation? It's Filmation. Yeah, they were made for Con TV actually when Con TV got the rights to a couple years ago, and they released at Wizard World, I think. Yeah, they came out. I had the little pins, the magnets that they gave the Comic Con the year you were there with me, and then they made these skateboard decks that they gave away in Chicago, which you had to pay like it was like $120 each, so they were expensive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I guess they weren't giveaways then.
They were giveaways if you paid $120 for the service. I think I had 3 year subs that I never used.
Oh wow. Jeez. Yeah, it's cool, man, when you find a whole bunch of stuff that you like, it's like a new present, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely fun. So back at He-Man and SDCC, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's releasing what. Mythic Legions, the Four Horsemen line that they're doing, they teased that there's going to be a He-Man and Skeletor, colored characters they're releasing. It's one of the skull character, one of the skeleton
really?
Characters. He's going to be blue skinned with a human body and a skull head that's yellow. And then there's going to be a barbarian style figure that's going to be very He-Man themed looking like. So it looks like there's going to be like a He-Man and Skeletor Mythic Legions. They're going to be awesome.
And now they're going to be exclusives for San Diego?
I think they're not going to be exclusives. They're going to be early pickup and pre-order for Comic-Con. Because these things are hard to get. Remember, like they sell out in seconds and minutes.
Yes.
Like Filmation, He-Man, be damned. These things sell out faster, and they're very hard to get. So
that's main reason why I didn't get into that line is because of that, because they're like second sellouts, you know, like
well, that's if you don't pre-order them like a year in advance. So since these are going to be early drop ones, I think they're just going to sell the one at Comic-Con and then maybe at some PowerCon. Kind of like when they did the Man-at-Arms looking orc that they released, or the Attorney and Guard looking orc that they released at PowerCon last year. Remember, I got one last year, and then like 15 minutes later, they were all sold out.
Really?
Yeah, PowerCon.
I've missed out on all this stuff, man, from the con. with this part, I mean, dude, I love hearing it, though, because I'm kind of like, oh, my gosh, what's coming for this? So you guys know. I mean, what are you expecting to see? Is there going to be some big crazy reveals? Is there going to, you know, what's going to be the centerpiece for this?
Okay, so Comic-Con this year, I highly suspect it'll happen. I don't have any inside information, and I don't know if it's true or not. I've nothing to go on. I'm thinking that Super 7 might unveil a Filmation Prince Adam. That might
It's very likely.
It's pretty likely that they might unveil a Filmation Prince Adam that'll be available to show, and maybe whatever's afterwards left over. We're gonna get Earl Norris, whatever his name is, the artist that did a lot of the old magazine.
Yeah, Earl Norm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Earl Norm. I can't ever pronounce anyone's name right. Remember that, everybody.
My favorite.
So his art, they're doing a portfolio at PowerCon, remember of it. So we're not going to expect to see his work, but what if we get like a William George portfolio?
So they're going to do like what they did with Earl McCarthy? The same type of thing?
Well, that's the Power and Honor that did Earl McCarthy, and that's the Power and Honor that did the Mark Taylor stuff. Remember, at last year's Comic-Con, they did Mark Taylor, and they did they did
Earl McCarthy.
Yeah, Earl McCarthy at New York Comic-Con. So I think at this year's San Diego, they might have something like – they might have – who knows? They might have a Earl Norm as well. Who knows? But PowerCon is going to have one, and that's going to be done by Dark Horse.
Awesome.
So that's going to be a Dark Horse one instead of a Power and Honor. But the Power and Honor that they're looking at releasing, I'm expecting maybe who did I just say? I've already William George. William George, we just lost, of course.
That'd be cool.
He died a couple weeks ago.
That'd be sweet, man.
That would be awesome to get some of his art. Be looking at a lot of different stuff. We might get something completely different. We might get like a figure guide. That would be really cool, like a guide of all the figures and the variations. But I know that the Power and Honor has been working on something for this year's Comic-Con, and
It could be the part two that they've been saying that's coming out for so long as well to their first book.
Yes, it could be. It very, very well could be. And that would be really nice. I know that they were working on a guide. Emiliano has teased in the past that they were working on a guide to all the figures, weapons, and variations of all those.
They've been collecting and doing research on all of them as well.
Yeah, and taking pictures. They're not just taking pictures for themselves. They're not like, oh, yeah, we're doing it for my personal collection. I mean, they've been collecting, like, Virus He-Man from Malaysia. They've got, the axe that has a handle. All different kinds of crazy stuff. So I fully expect to see something out of them at Super 7 this year.
That would be really cool, a guide to the figures. That would be really cool because there are so many different variations around the world. You know, the Malaysians, the Mexicos, the China. I mean, there are so many different variations of figures and color schemes and whatnot. Yeah. And I mean, and then if you get into the top toys, I mean, there's just so many stuff. And if they do a good job on that and documenting and getting pictures of everything and the weapons correctly. I mean, that is something that everybody would need to have as well, along with all these other Dark Horse and Power and Honor books that were out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would love to see that also.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quick guide to it. You know, it's pretty cool to have if you're a real, you know, true fan of everything that's in the past.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have.
Let's talk something else quickly here. Have y'all heard what the Loyal Subjects exclusives are going to be?
No.
Okay. Well, this goes back to the Thundercats comment we were making earlier.
Okay.
Because I don't know what MOTU stuff they're going to have exclusive yet, but I have seen some of the rumors, and I know at least a little bit that they're going to have a 6-inch Thundercats Lino at Comic-Con that's going to be
A
exclusive.
six
Oh,
inch?
wow.
That's sweet.
Yes. Now, you're
That
going to
is
be like,
sweet.
well, that's awesome because hopefully they'll do the rest of them in 6 inches, right? Well, it's
Right.
just a windowed box Lino, and Lino's going to have probably the same articulation that a normal one does.
Okay.
So it's going to be really, really animated style and.
So
Yeah.
basically, it's just a
Oh. Yeah.
regular figure. It's just 6 inches, which is, I mean, that's cool.
But in the
It's
loyal subject sculpt, basically.
I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, I could get
it's
down with it.
just, yeah, I mean, it's them testing the waters of a 6-inch figure, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, they did the 6-inch figures for the turtles. They did window boxes on the turtles too. So all the turtles
Did
have been
they?
released in window boxes 6 inches a couple of years ago. The 6 inches they also did for the Transformers in the past. So the turtles, the Transformers have already gotten a 6-inch scale release. But again, they were just enlarged versions of the same figures that they had. So it wasn't new, it was just enlarged, just in case you want it. So our He-Man figure, our Skeletor figure, they look awesome in that small scale. I don't know how much bigger they need to be though. I mean,
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah. No,
and a 6-inch Lion-O is awesome, but I mean, I still want classics.
Yeah, no, see, I appreciate the loyal subjects. What are they, three, three and a half? I mean, they look
Yeah.
cool. I understand what you're saying. It
Yeah.
may not work. But yeah, I mean, I would love the technology and the money into the classics figures. But yeah, I mean, I don't understand why they pass by Masters line. We haven't gotten a 6-inch figure with them yet. If they've done all the other ones already, it's kind of strange.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I mean, they also had a couple other figures are going to do 6-inch scale, I saw. But Lino's the big one. They have some new Titans. They're probably going to unveil some Titans and some new. Man, there's going to be all different kinds of stuff. I'm sure they're going to unveil, but I don't know what kind of MOTU stuff they're going to have because. It hasn't been teased yet. They've been teasing their other lines that they have not released, like the Thundercats may first be available at Comic-Con, I heard. So like last year they had the first MOTU of the Loyal Subjects available at Comic-Con. They might have Thundercats available for the first time at Comic-Con this year. So that
Yeah,
might be
might.
like a little tease for a little while
Yeah.
before everyone else gets them.
Right. Yeah, like that could be like the kickoff of the line.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I think they just started Street Fighter as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they showed a Street Fighter recently. I think there's a 6-inch Street Fighter. I don't remember who it is. It might be Ken or Ryu. I don't remember. I saw this a couple of days ago, and I've slept since then, and I've got a million things going on in my life that it's like the Loyal Subjects are awesome in lots of ways. I go back and forth because I do like them. I like the little figures. I have too many of them. I actually
Yeah.
went back and I tried to get that Disco Skeletor for Doug here. Even though he's gonna custom one, I was like, maybe I could find a real Disco. I found a new Evil-Lyn though. I told you about that. I got that already. Anyhow, that's been a long week.
Just answered your own questions.
Brian may have missed out on that. That's been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I sound like Brian suddenly, like where I'm like, I'm just, never mind. I'm kidding. Anyhow, I wanted to correct something just in case because there were some comments on the website. It's not Dark Horse that's doing the Earl Norum art books. It's PowerCon. It's PowerCon. Remember, I think I said Dark Horse. I don't know why I said that. That's my mistake. PowerCon is releasing the Earl Norum premium prints. And it's not going to be a book. It's going to be prints that you can frame and put up on your wall.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
That's
that's going to be
perfect.
really cool. I printed two. Already, so I mean, that was months ago, but good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do expect to see some stuff out of maybe Power and Honor at Comic-Con. I expect to see some Loyal Subjects. I expect to see some Super Seven. I expect who else? Who else are
See,
we
see,
missing?
see, but what's good?
Funko has some.
Yeah. But what's good about this year is that there's so much time in between San Diego and PowerCon that it's actually going to be fun, That there's time in between, so the reveals or whatever will actually make more sense and
yes,
more exciting.
I'm thinking we'll get some really awesome reviews from reveals from Super 7 at PowerCon. Yeah. I'm actually really looking forward to it. But who isn't? Except for Aaron, I guess. Aaron just gets to hear about it afterwards.
Yeah, I'm just living vicariously through you. It's all good.
But that'll be fun. Okay, we had something else we were going to talk about today, didn't we? Did we have Filmation we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Filmation episodes.
Excellent, excellent. So if I remember correctly, we're going to talk about not our favorite episode, because that's like crazy hard, narrowing it down to one. The harder question is what episode will we show someone brand new to the series that's never seen it before? Right? Is that the question?
Yes.
That's the question.
Okay. And this is something that I will say I've thought of recently, because I do intend to have kids that I want to introduce to He-Man the right way. And, you know, I have a girlfriend, fiance. I'm not going to even get into that right now. But she has actually never watched He-Man except for the Dolph movie. So
really?
I've thought about it. How do I introduce her to the show? Because I'm sure she's not going to have a problem with it, but I'm sure it's not going to be something that she's going to be like head over heels like I am, right?
Right.
So what episode do you start with to get someone interested into it? Whether it's a significant other, whether it's a kid,
well,
a nephew, a niece? Well,
for me, it has to be the third episode, the disappearing act, because to me, that should have been the first episode, because it's actually the introduction to pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
That to me should be the intro for, you know, a non-fan. It pretty much explains a little bit of each person, the main characters, good and bad. So that would be mine.
Yeah. You know, Prince Adam also is kind of what would I call it in that episode? Prince Adam's kind of a little childish, I think, in that one, isn't he? A little bit, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he could be. Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's still early in the production, so that they were, you know, going back and forth with, I guess, his character.
Yeah,
but you know, besides that, I'd still have to say that would be the first episode for trying to get somebody into it, because you know it explains a lot.
It's a good one. I had considered recently, when I was thinking about this, we've been talking about it for a couple of days now, the Diamond Ray of Disappearance myself.
There we go.
Because that one's really, really, really good and really, really popular. And that's one that, you know, it works. It works in more than one way. But I actually really wanted to hear about from our Filmation expert, Aaron, because I know Aaron will have the right answer here, because I thought of a couple of them. Like, I forget the episode where it's Colossor. Which one's Colossor?
Colossor Awakens.
Yeah, yes. Colossor Awakens. Yeah, that's the episode. And that's one of my favorite personal episodes. And you get introduced to, like, Skeletor's little skull vehicle and
the
stuff
Dune
like
Buster.
That. Yeah, and stuff like that. But, you know, my personal favorite doesn't mean that it's going to be something that everyone else needs to watch. And I'm certainly not going to go with an episode featuring, like, Uncle whatever his name is.
Montork?
Yeah, because unless you're really trying to appeal to kids, like...
Oh, Crackers!
Crackers the Clown, yeah. If you really want to appeal to young kids.
Yeah.
For me, man, I don't know. I guess this one episode, I would introduce it to anybody, because I think it's a really great episode. And I'm really big on mini comics, so it has the mini comic tie-in also. So for me, Dragon's Gift.
that's the most straight up mini comic episode.
It's Green Granimir.
But I like the fact that, I mean, there's a lot of things going on there. It's you get the lessons, you get He-Man's, you know, his right from wrong, you get all those things. So it kind of introduces you to everybody and what all's going on. You go to the Mystic Mountains, man, you meet Granimir. Come on.
And by the way, if anyone has not already gotten this, the He-Man and She-Ra Complete Guide to the Classic Animated Series by our good guy, James Busta Busta Tunes Ecock.
Busta.
His book is a really, really good in-depth book of going through and kind of, you know, seeing what each of the episodes entails, some of the trivia and stuff like that. I'm actually doing it right now, looking through just in case there's anything I'm forgetting. So just in case anyone has this at home.
Did he ever come out with the She-Ra book?
Well, She-Ra's in this book.
Yeah, I think they're combining.
In this book, they're both combined. His standalone book that he did separately, he only did He-Man.
Because he was teasing he was going to do a She-Ra, and then they came out with the combined book.
Yeah.
He never did come out with his own, right?
Not for She-Ra. Not technically. But this is his, so I mean.
Yeah.
I don't think he needs to anymore. I mean, like,
he is self-published.
I love Serial Geek. I don't know if anyone knows what Serial Geek is. Do you know what that is, Aaron?
It's a great magazine.
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay, so I've got issues somewhere in my office that I have to dig up later this week, I'm sure, now that we're talking about it. But Serial Geek is
it's like bi-monthly, I think, right?
It's not bi-monthly, man. It used to be quarterly or every half year, bi-yearly. Like, yeah. Biannually, but it's a magazine that is literally about 80s cartoons. So in the same issue that you have a full, you know, essay or article on He-Man or Skeletor, you have the non-Filmation Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters, after all. You might have the Filmation Ghostbusters in there. You might have She-Ra or Jem. You might have
Brave Star.
Oh, I forget Brave Star. Always. Yeah. And you might even talk about other cartoons that came out later. It's literally all the 80s cartoon and possibly I think there was some non-cartoon in one of the volumes, goodness. But it's just amazing. He gets original art for it. The covers are really cool. The first issue, the one that had the bloodied She-Ra face, the She-Ra portrait after she got beat up by Huntera.
I know what you're talking about. I'm not sure 100%, but yeah.
First issue, the cover, is literally a bloodied face of She-Ra as she got beat by Huntera in the classic episode. And it goes into depth in that episode. And it's great. It's like, man, I got to get this framed.
Ladies' night.
Exactly, right? No. He doesn't pull any punches. It's a really good read. And then each issue, since, you know, they're from the UK, like each issue is like about $15, I think, American for us. They're good. They're awesome reads. And then you want to save them because that stuff is timeless. I mean,
yeah, it's good. It's just good stuff to have too. Reread it.
And a lot of the covers are He-Man. I'm not going to lie. There's a really good episode. I think it's like issue 8 or issue 9. I bought a double of that has Skeletor sitting on his throne as the cover.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that. That's cool.
Bone
throne.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's just a really, really good magazine. And he did that, of course, previous to doing the Filmation book that he did by himself and the Filmation book that he did with Dark Horse. So, yeah. In fact, if we turn to the very back, we've got She-Ra episodes. No, we got like I was thinking about it, you know, if it wasn't for my significant other, what about if I was introducing a kid and if it was a boy or a girl, which episode would I choose? Right. You know, the Flowers for Hordak episode where we have shower power Mantenna.
Oh,
remember?
Power, anyhow, power, man. Always have to look.
Dude, look at it. It's page 501 in the book. Yeah, it's Mantenna with a shower cap and bath towel. If anyone else wants to turn to it, it's page 501. It's called Flowers for Hordak. It's I think it's season 2 of She-Ra, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, there's always some good episodes. But anyhow, you know, this book is just a lot of fun. And since we're talking about it, that's why I figured I'd plug it for a few seconds here, a few minutes. there's always like, another good episode that I like is My Friend, My Enemy. It's a She-Ra episode that of course He-Man and some Skeletor show up for.
Oh,
yeah. I actually, I actually just watched a bunch of She-Ra episodes on Netflix yesterday.
Yes. They're available for you to watch. That's the best part.
Season one of She-Ra and season one of He-Man and the Christmas specials back on.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That is a good thing to watch. So I haven't really made a decision yet. There's so many different episodes I'd want to go through before I'd like pick one. But I mean, I had a couple of ideas. Into the Abyss is one that I remember very fondly, of course.
That's a good episode.
As a kid.
Yeah.
I remember having that one on a cassette tape, or, you know, VHS tape that we had taped from TV. but yeah, there's a lot of episodes. You want to talk for a second about it? Aaron, I mean, what do you think?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, with Filmation, there's so many different things and so many different episodes. So kind of like along the lines of what Brian said, I think it would really depend for me as far as what the audience was. So for you, you know, trying to get her into it, you might start out with She-Ra and, you know, get something that has a crossover with He-Man and Hordak and
the Secret of the Sword,
you know, but
yeah, there you go. Perfect.
You know, so I guess it varies by audience, but it's really what you like. I mean, I think for most things, just like that, and Dragon's Gift, you know, I'm a big fan of the Evil Warriors. I like a lot of the different Evil Warriors and stuff. And in that particular episode, the only one you get is Skeletor. So, you know, if that's the way you're leaning, you want to introduce somebody to the evil stuff, maybe you don't go with that episode and maybe go with something else. So,
yeah. See, I mean, we're not going to start our kids off with the problem with power.
Start them at the end. Why not? Well, of course, we determined that that is not the final episode, but it was somehow close and in there.
Yeah, it was meant to probably be like one of the final episodes with what we talked about last week. I didn't even realize it, and I haven't had time to rewatch it, but I plan to sometime soon.
Graylin and I watch, I mean, we do watch Masters of the Universe, the Filmation stuff. But of course, obviously, he's not old enough really to understand what's going on. He just sees colors and things moving, but he likes it and loves He-Man. Anytime I've got on a He-Man shirt or he sees one of the figures, he's reaching for it. But my idea for introducing to him, I think I'm going to do a little different. It was the same way it was done for me. So I'm going to do mini comics with a classics figure. So whichever vintage figure that it corresponded with, that particular mini. So I'm going to give it to him like that so that he can read the mini and learn about the characters the way I did.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about
nice.
Like some of the golden books? Because those golden books were a lot easier
golden
to
books
read.
Were very, very key back in the day because they were easier to read and they were, I don't know about you guys, but they were actually in my school library too.
Yes.
Yeah, you can still get access to some of those. I think libraries still have them, but you know, I find them here and there most of the time when I'm looking for stuff for the group, like stuff to give away. And man, we have given away some golden books. We went through. I had a lot that I bought. I think of 271 books and magazines. And
how much was that,
dude? None of those reside here anymore. I mean, they're gone. Like, I get a little drunk. And you know, start giving stuff away. So it's like
waffle on, man.
Yeah, you got to keep Taylor the baby in another room. You know, I don't want to give my family away. But yeah, so those books. I mean, I paid a pretty penny to get that lot, but it was amazing to go through it and see like what all was out there. I got some of the German books. I got some of the Lady Birds. I got some Goldens. The book that has the big book of Evil Warriors and the big book of Heroic Warriors.
Those are good.
Went through.
Yeah, they are good.
Those. So I like the record books too, man. You know, yes. I think when you're introducing somebody to He-Man, if we're staying along that topic, if you go some of that early stuff is really key. You know, I like the way you've got Skeletor and Beastman are standing over top of their little war plan. And, you know, he's got a He-Man doll and a Man-at-Arms doll. And this is, you know, this is what we're going to do. I like some of that stuff. So the record stuff is cool. Point Dread for sure. Trouble at Castle Grayskull.
Yep.
Or Danger at Castle Grayskull, I guess. Yeah. But
I've got that one, I think, sealed in my office. I found that one too recently.
Oh, that's an awesome record, man. I mean,
it came with the tape, though. It came with the tape. It wasn't the record. It's the same book, but it came with the tape.
No, you got to have the clicks and pops, man, from the vinyl. I mean, that's what makes it. You know, it's going around. You get into this eerie spot. You know, oh, my gosh, are He-Man and Man-at-Arms locked in epic battle? I mean, Come on,
flip the you gotta flip the record.
You gotta flip the record. Side B, if you want to hear what happens to
you. Yeah, those are pretty cool back in the day. It's unfortunate the kids don't have that.
Yeah, man, I want to give it back in that way. You know, I enjoy that, and we've got a kid in the group I think is interesting. I'll give him a shout out to Bryce. And Bryce is 11, and he gets in the waffle groups and gets kind of rowdy sometimes. But he is a big fan of She-Ra. So I think it's interesting. You know, here's an 11-year-old boy who, you know, that is the first thing he was introduced to. And that's what he likes. So he really loves the Princess of Power.
That's fine.
Online. Yeah, that's I think that's awesome, man. So, you know, yeah. It's different strokes for different folks. And I think we have that with our question as far as how you would introduce Filmation. I mean, how do you?
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like a sponge, man. You got to just play it. And however the kids take it in, that's how they take it in, whether it is She-Ra or He-Man.
Yeah.
You know, it, I guess it's all on them.
Skeletor or Hordak.
Right. Right.
Well, that could change who you see as the more powerful person, because in my mind, and I don't know, maybe it was just me, but the way things were released, you know, Skeletor will always be like the ultimate number one to me.
Yeah.
But at the time when things were being released, it felt like, you know, Hordak is more evil than already going on, because, you know.
Well, if you remember the commercials, the evil horde is coming. We had that forever. And then the evil horde, or however the song went, you know, with the commercials, and they had their own stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It was like He-Man, you know, Skeletor, everybody fell under that, and then the horde all by themselves. Which was
amazing. And then we get into the Snake Men. So, is King Hiss more evil? So, I guess, like you said, it would be how you're introduced to it, because if all you ever knew, like maybe like Bryce, Hordak being the most evil being, and then you come along and you get into Filmation and you find Skeletor, you know,
he's like a Hordak lackey at that point in time.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly. Yeah,
subservient to Hordak at that point, and so is Hiss almost to a point. I mean,
yeah. Well, Hiss is a good guy in the Eternity Wars, remember?
Yeah.
Well, technically not a good guy, but the Snake Men fight on the side of good.
Yeah, they do. You're right. Yeah.
See, I like that. You know, you can do little spins like that. But so, you know, it wasn't originally presented to us in that way. So does it make it harder to accept the Snake Men being good? You know, because we started out with the evil Snake Men, and here they come, and oh my God, they're slithering in, and the commercials had them slithering and all that crap. So it's now harder to say, oh, well, you know, Rattlore's good. You know, that's tough for me, because Rattlore's always been, you know, the height of the rattlesnake, the height of, you know, I like the general aspect. I like general Rattlore, but as far as having him, you know, all those folks be good, that's tough depending on how you're presented with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then at one point in time, he was part of the Horde as well. So.
Yep. Oh, well.
What do you think, guys? So I think we summed it up pretty good as far as the question. And we'll wait for next week for Dirt to throw us another stomper, because that was Dirt throws it out there, you know, this afternoon. I'm like, oh, my Lord. Do you know how many episodes of Filmation are, man?
Yeah,
they're all.
You know, but good deal, Dirt. That was awesome.
All right, next week's question is, which Filmation episode had the most clips of He-Man running?
That's a hard one.
I don't think it'll be time to
watch every episode again.
Hey, man, I've got a trivia for you. So here's the trivia. Let's see. There is only one episode of Filmation that ever features He-Man's shield, the actual toy accurate shield, and it was in an episode. It is not color red, however, it is the shield
orange, right?
Yeah, the orange. It doesn't have the orange coloration, but
I remember that one too. It's in season one, isn't it?
It is. So we'll let you guys say
it was something with a demon in it, the demon lady.
You're on it, brother.
Let me look in the book here.
You are on it. Here. You're on it. I mean, you've already nailed it.
Ooh, it's like the fifth episode, the She-Demon of Phantomos, right?
Yes, the She-Demon of Phantos, and they go for Man-at-Arms Prince Adam are testing weapons produced with Photanium.
Yep.
A precious ore located on Phantos. And so you see there is a clip where Man-at-Arms and Adam are fighting, and it's kind of interesting because He-Man does not have the shield. So it's actually Prince Adam and yeah. Man-at-Arms duking it out. Can you guys see that? Yeah. So there it is.
Cool.
Little Filmation trivia.
Nice.
All right, guys. So, Brian, take us out, brother.
All right, guys. Well, it's been a great episode, man. Thanks for everybody listening. Thanks to the guys involved. Just want to say just quick shout-out to Adam. Thanks for the mailer, man. I appreciate it. And
what happened?
I got a mailer. I needed a mailer. My stuff in my room fell, and my I forgot what mailer it was. It was the two pack. I think it was the He-Man and Skeletor, the New Adventures.
Oh, okay. It's for you.
I discovered that one of my mailers got oil on it. I don't know where this oil came from. I blame my cats. But I need a red Granomir mailer, it looks like.
Ooh, that may be pricey.
Yeah. You know what I have, though, for trade? I've got a Shadow Weaver, a Fisto, a Sorcerer.
Oh, jeez.
Mailer.
Oh, you got all the own money.
I got all those mailers from when I opened my figures.
There you go.
Oh, crap. You got that ozone money.
Wow.
There you go, guys. So if you got the trade... you know where to come.
Come over to the Masters of the Galaxy page and make sure you throw it out there. Get a hold of Mr. K and Brian Ozone will hook you up. And
there you go, man. I just want to say again, thanks to PopCultureNetwork.com and everybody else out there, man. And thanks for listening. So rock on, man. Until next time.